Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia Togba. It is so good to have you with me once again for our installment of A Year in the Word. We live in a time when knowledge is readily available. We can go to the internet, to Google or Yahoo or whichever search engine that you prefer, and we can find knowledge of all kinds, things that were not readily accessible to us years and years ago are now in the palm of our hand, and at the click of a button, knowledge is before us. And yet many of us have no idea what is contained in the pages of the Holy Bible. I have heard many objections of people talking about things that they have heard from others, not having read it themselves, but heard from others about what is written in the Bible and what is written about God. And they have not experienced it for themselves, just taking the word of someone else who decided not to accept the Lord as their own. But I implore you on today, this knowledge of the Word of God is as accessible as knowledge is on the internet. You can go to the pages of the Word and find out who God is and who you are in the earth. Each and every one of us, God has placed an indelible impression in your spirit. That impression cannot be sealed with anything else. I don't care how many lovers you've ever had. I don't care how much you drink or how much drugs make you feel good for a moment. And those things do not work, because that indelible impression was only made to fit the presence of God. That's why nothing else will satisfy you except the Word of God. So I implore you to listen, be a reader, a hearer, and a doer of the Word on today. Amen. Time is winding up. We see the signs of the judgment in the atmosphere, in our cities, in our countries. We see devastations of all kinds that should not be happening in this point of time, when man is so intelligent, when technology is so advanced. We should not see the hatred that we see right now. We should not have an issue with people going off in schools and shooting up our children. We shouldn't see slavery happening in Libya. We shouldn't see those things in this day. But because man has chosen evil rather than good, they have actually chosen Satan himself rather than choosing God. Rather than choosing to humble themselves under the presence of our Creator, man has chosen to follow after the evil example of Lucifer, the fallen one, Satan, the devil, the dragon of hell, whatever you want to call him. Amen. This is a very hard word right now, but I need you to listen, because people are dying, and I don't want it to be you. I don't want it to be you. So I come on here every day reading the Word of God and praying for each and every one of you, that you might hear the voice of God in your ears and turn, so that the good, amen, in the earth that God has made for be yours. So your life will be prosperous. So that the Lord will lead you and guide you and make you that person of purpose that you were intended to be from the very beginning. Your destiny is bent on holiness. I don't care what anybody else has told you. I don't care what anybody else has said. The Spirit of the Lord is there right where you are right now. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there right now to do a work in your life, because he loves you with an everlasting love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what's been said about you. It doesn't matter who you love. It doesn't matter what they've said. It doesn't matter how much sorrow you've experienced. God has not forgotten you, and he is there to uplift you and to turn you around and away from those things that have been destructive in your life, and show you the way of life everlasting, show you the way of life that is abundant. Jesus said he came that we might have life, and that more abundantly. God wants to show you that today. He wants to show you abundant life, but your eyes have to be open to the word and to the will of God. Don't allow someone else's voice to turn you away from the voice of God. His word is his voice, and obey. Listen and do what the Spirit of the Lord is beckoning you to do. He will never ask you to do evil. Never. He cannot do evil himself. So he will never ask you to do evil. I have heard many that have said they heard a voice telling them to kill someone, and it was the voice of God. That was not God. God will not tell you to do something that is written in his word that you should not do. That one of the commandments is thou shalt not kill. That means the voice of the Lord did not say it. It was Satan. Amen. We must be readers, hearers, and doers of the word of God. Time is out. The time is gone for not listening to the voice of God. That time is gone. It is past. We are now in the danger zone. And if we don't find ourselves wrapped up, tied up, and tangled all up in Jesus, we will be doomed. That day is over. And this is the day of salvation. He is here on today to bring forth salvation with his mighty hand. For you and all of your household, God has not forgotten you. Glory to God in the highest. I thank the Lord. He's not forgotten us. He knows your friends. He knows your enemies. He knows your past. He knows where you've been, and he knows where you're going. Allow him to lead you down the path that he has set before you. All of us have a given path, one that has been set by the Spirit of God, one that's been framed by him and him alone, one that will bring us into success and not failure. God is working on our behalf. Amen. Know that he loves you with an everlasting love, and there's nothing that you've ever done that will remove his love. If somebody tries to tell you different, they are a liar, and God is not a man that he should lie. His word lets us know, amen, that his promises for us are yea and amen. Yes, and so be it. Glory to God. Amen. This is a time when we should love each other all the more. No matter what your race or ethnicity, no matter where you're from, no matter where you're going, we ought to love one another. And we ought to be giving each other a leg up. We should be helping one another. All of us need help at one time or another. And the Spirit of the Lord tells us how to do that, how to dwell with one another, how to walk before him. Those are the things that we are reading in this season, a year in the Word. We're reading about who God is. He is our strong creator. All power is in his hands. It's not in the hands of the doctors. It's not in the hands of the military. It's not in the hands of the president. All power is in the hands of God. He is the one that moves us from place to place. He is in control of all things. All things. All things are subject to him and to him alone. Amen. Get knowledge. Get understanding that it is contained in the word of God. Thank you for being with me once again. Glory to God in the highest for a year in the word. We are reading today from Judges chapters 12 through 16. Amen. These were the judges of the household of Israel, the 12 tribes that the Lord placed over them himself to lead them and to deliver them out of the bondages that their disobedience found them in. And yet the Lord loved them so much that he would send a guide to lead the people back into the presence of God Almighty. That's what pastors do. That's what teachers do. That is what evangelists and prophets do. They lead you back into the presence of God. It's not to lift themselves up. They are servants. We are servants that are here to bring you back into his presence, to know that he is God and all things are in his hands. And he sees and knows it all. Nothing escapes his eyes. His arms are not too short to deliver you out of your circumstance. Amen. He is the God of our salvation, our deliverance, and he has not forgotten us. He has not forgotten the nation of Israel. He loves his people, all of his people. God bless Israel on today. Oh, my God. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to the word on today. Hallelujah. Even before we do that, we are going to bow ourselves in the presence of God Almighty because we need him every day and every hour for everything under the sun. There is not a thing under the sun that we do not need the Lord for. We need him to help us to make sound decisions. We need him to move us from place to place. We need him to show us what jobs we should take and which ones we should not. We need him to prosper our finances and to bless our children and to give us the knowledge and wisdom of how to lead them into his presence. We need the Lord for everything. Amen. If I have not said what your need is, you say it. We need the Lord for that thing too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God for your leaders on today, your pastors. Pray for them. They do battle with the enemy over your soul. They're looking out for you. God has put them in that position to look out for you and to lead you into his presence. But they have to battle the enemy in order to get you there. Don't forget. Don't forget. Bless your pastors with your goods. Bless them. They do battle for you. Bless them. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you as humbly as we know how, thanking you, Lord God. Hallelujah, for your spirit that is in the midst of us. We humble ourselves under the hand of Almighty God, realizing that you are God and there is no other. Oh, Lord God, there is no power in heaven or in earth that is greater than you, and nothing can come against us unless it asks your permission, and you will not allow anything to destroy what is yours. I give glory to you, Lord God, because you are my Lord and my Savior, my keeper and my help. You are my hope. You are the author and the finisher, the pioneer and perfecter of our souls on today. Blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty. Jesus, we give you glory on today. The glory is yours alone, oh God. The glory is yours alone, and we bless your name. Lord God, open our minds and our hearts to receive of your word on today, to receive knowledge, to receive wisdom, to receive understanding. Illuminate it before us, oh God. Oh Lord, it calls us to see things today that we were not able yesterday. Give us that aha moment in the spirit, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that we might walk, Lord God, worthy. Hallelujah, by your spirit, Lord. Your spirit is what makes us worthy. And that's how we want to walk, humbled in your presence, loving one another, helping one another, empowering one another in your word, and making full proof of the ministries that you place in each and every one of us by your grace, your unmerited favor. We don't deserve it, and yet you bless us anyhow. Oh, Lord, we honor you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord God, I send forth a blessing to the ears of each and every hearer and ask, oh, God, that you move, Lord, every obstacle and destroy every yoke of the enemy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God in the highest. We are reading from Judges chapters 12 through 16. Amen. We may go over our time just a little bit, but if you're reading from the archive, you will hear it in its entirety. If you're listening live, you will have to go back to the archive in order to hear it in full in case we go over. And God bless you, and thank you once again for being with me. We're reading from Judges chapters 12 through 16, and I am reading from the New King James Version of the Word of God. Then the men of Ephraim gathered together, crossed over towards Zaphon, and said to Jephthah, "Why did you cross over to fight against the people of Ammon and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house down with fire, my Lord." Oh, he says, "We will burn your house down on you with fire, okay? And Jephthah said to them, my people and I were in great struggle with the people of Ammon. And when I called you, you did not deliver me out of their hands. So when I saw you would not deliver me, I took my life in my hands and crossed over against the people of Ammon. And the Lord delivered them into my hand. Why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me? Now Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought against Ephraim. And the men of Gilead defeated Ephraim because they said, you Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. The Gileadites seized the fords of the Jordan before the Ephraimites arrived. And when any Ephraimite who escaped said, let me cross over, the men of Gilead would say to them, are you an Ephraimite? If he said no, they would say to him, then say, Shiboleth. And he would say, Siboleth, for he could not pronounce it right. Then they would take him and kill him at the fords of the Jordan. There fell at that time 42,000 Ephraimites, and Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah, the Gileadite, and among the cities of Gilead. After him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. He had 30 sons, and he gave away 30 daughters in marriage and brought in 30 daughters from elsewhere for his sons. He judged Israel 7 years. Then Ibzan died and was buried at Bethlehem. After him, Elon the Zebulunite judged Israel. He judged Israel 10 years, and Elon the Zebulunite died and was buried at Aijalon in the country of Zebulun. After him, Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 young donkeys. He judged Israel 8 years, and then Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, died and was buried in Pirathon in the land of Ephraim in the mountains of the Amalekites. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them in the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites who was named Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat any. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine nor similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to this day. Till the day of his death. Now Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man of God who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke this to this woman? And he said, I am. Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rules of life and his works? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I have commanded her, let her observe. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. So Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you? And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock of the Lord to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife said to him, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the Lord and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahana Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. A young lion came roaring against him, and the spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart. He tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there for the men used to do it. And it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Then Samson said to them, let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen of garments and 30 changes of clothing. And they said to him, pose your riddle that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the eater came something sweet, and out of the throng came something sweet. Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or even we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, "You only hate me. You do not love me. You have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me." And he said to her, "Look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother. So should I explain it to you?" Now she had wept on him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it happened on the seventh day that he told her because she pressed him so much. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, "What is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion?" And he said to them, "If you have not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle." Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his house. His wife and to his companion, who had been his best man. After a while, in the same time of the wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. And he said, "Let me go into my wife, into her room." But her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, "I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead." And Samson said to him, "This time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them." Then Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and he took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put a torch between each pair of tails. When he had set the torch on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and olive groves. Then the Philistine said, "Who has done this? Son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion." So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Samson said to them, "Since you would do a thing like this, I will surely stand on you, and after I will cease." So he attacked them, hip and thigh, with a great slaughter. Then he went down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock at Etam. Now the Philistines went up, encamped in Judah, and deployed themselves against Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" So they answered, "We have come up to arrest Samson, to do to him as he has done to us." Then 300,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this you have done to us?" And he said to them, "As they did to me, so I have done to them." But they said to him, "We have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hands of the Philistines." Then Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves." So they spoke to him, saying, "No, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hands, but we will surely not kill you." And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men." And so it was, when he had finished speaking, that he drew the jawbone from his hand and called the place Ramoth Lehi. Then he became very thirsty. So he cried out to the Lord and said, "You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. And now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" So God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank it. And his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore, he called its name En Hakkor, which is in Lehi to this day. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went in to her. When the Gazites were told, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, "In the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him." And Samson lay low until midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gate posts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Zorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies, and with what you may be bound to afflict you." And Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like other men." So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. And she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with. So he said to her, "If they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall be weak and be like other men." Therefore Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And the men were lying in wait, staying in the room, but he broke them off his arms like a thread. Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of a loom." So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out of the batten and the web from the loom. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies." And it came to pass, when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, "No razor has ever come to my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak like other men." Then Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart. She sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought money in her hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our death. So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, call for that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who led him by his hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. So the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the Lord and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol, in the tomb of his father Manoah. He judged Israel 20 years. I have read and you have heard from Judges chapters 12 through 16. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of all, the doers of his word, and sanctify the truth in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, God bless you. God keep you. God anoint you. I hope you will continue to stay with me as we continue this journey in a year in the Word. Amen.